Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Beckham's out there. Touchdown!
Alrighty, so let's get into it, Joe.
Heard nationwide, televised online at richeisenshow.com.
Do you go right out of the gate as this a must-win game for the Browns?
Burrow back in the pocket, late pressure, he got hit!
This is about as important as a Week 2 game can get.
Higher register!
The Browns are going to be winners on Thursday
night. Today's guests, ESPN college football analyst Todd McShay, plus Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are on a Friday getting set for the bulk of Week 2 action with Thursday Night Football kicking things off. Our friends at NBC Sports and NBC Sports on Peacock, along with our radio network, we're thrilled that you're all here. I mean, NBC Sports, you want to talk about proud as a Peacock. Stanley Cup final is set. You got the Lightning taking care of the Islanders late last night in overtime. Set up a Stanley Cup game one between the Lightning and the Stars. That's on Saturday. You've got round three of the playoffs in NASCAR. That's going on NBC Sports this weekend. You've got the U.S. Open that's going on right now. Round two at Wingfoot. Bubba Watson having a nice day right now. I see him peeking up on the leaderboard right now. Waiting for Justin Thomas, your leader, and Patrick Reed, your leaders, to tee off. At Sunday Night Football on NBC as well, you've got the Patriots and Seahawks. And that's just the Peacock. That's just that. I mean, we got sports back. This is very exciting. The NBA bubble has got a lot of controversy and a lot of excitement and a lot of intensity and an actual basketball being played amongst all of it. And news breaking and things happening, and we'll keep an eye on it. I want to start with our friends in Ohio. Exhale, Browns fans, exhale. Just for a moment. You'll inhale and maybe hold your breath again. But that was a must-win territory last night. And the Bengals brought one Joseph Burrows of Athens, Ohio, to Cleveland, Ohio, by way of Cincinnati, Ohio, and Columbus, Ohio, and all sorts of Ohio. And Joey, I think, just threw his 19,000th pass of his NFL career last night. Congratulations, to use the Kenny Mayne phrase. That's a record or something. But they survived all that. As Joey B., as he's known on Twitter, backdoored the folks who thought the Browns were going to win by a bunch last night. But the Browns won by five. That's all you need, 35-30, to be 1-1. And I know what we're seeing on the screen, I'll describe to our radio audience, is the statistics of last night's game. And a lot of people focused, rightfully so, Baker Mayfield, 16-23, 219 yards, two scores, bad interception. But outside of that, excellent stat line for Baker Mayfield. Needed to do what he had to do, especially finding Odell Beckham on a vertical into the end zone. That was good, too. A lot of folks focused on the fact that Odell scored, and Odell was part of the offense that looked really tight in a passing game. Baker Mayfield making some nice throws. But it's the stat line of number 24 that catches my eye. The 24 rushes for 124 yards and two touchdowns. That's what will make the Cleveland Browns 2020 season significant. We focus on Baker because he's number one overall, and those progressive spots looked much better last night in the game than the previous week. And we all focus on Odell for various reasons. We all know why. But Nick Chubb matched his uniform number for the number of rushing yards, and the last two numbers of his total of rushing yards matched his uniform number with a one in front of it. 24 for 124 for number 24. That's what will get the Cleveland Browns where they want to go. It will open up the passing game. It will take the pressure off of where's Odell? Where are we finding Odell? If that is a pressure, as it was discussed certainly after week one. Defensively, Myles Garrett came up with defensive player of the year play. What is that? Sure, sack, if you will, force fumble. But that was right after the Browns went for it and got stoned on the half-inch yard line. Kevin Stefanski could have gone up 11, didn't. Took the ball, tried to jam it in there, didn't work. Back come the Bengals. The Browns make a silly play on defense, give Burrow a little bit more space, a little bit more room, and here comes Myles Garrett to pop it loose. And as Joe Buck, congrats to him on his announcement as the Pete Rozelle Award winner for broadcasting wing in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, joining his dad. As Joe Buck was right on the spot, called it right away. Browns get the ball back right where they gave it up. Then Chubb scores. That's what a defensive player of the year candidate can do. Erase a negative of an over-aggressive coach, perhaps, figuring out that we got to go for as many points as possible because he sees Joe Burrow winging it all over the lot. That's the good stuff. That's what the Browns need to do. Run the ball. Control the clock. Take the pressure off the passing game. Keep that defense of your opponent on the field and put your defense out there that hopefully for them on the back end will get more healthy. And now they've got the mini bye week with the Washington football team coming into their house in week number 3. And then after that, at the Dallas Cowboys, of course, we will be. That's a big fat week 4 meal. I mean, you could pretty much settle Nance and Romo into Dallas for week 4 for that call. That's going to be a big game, potentially, for both teams. Certainly with Dallas taking on Atlanta this week and then at Seattle in a late afternoon game and then Cleveland. That's going to be some good stuff. I'm so excited. The news also coming out yesterday that the Chiefs and the Texans, no positive tests coming out of that Thursday night game, the crossing of vectors. And that's, you know, you could say, well, we would have heard about it beforehand. I'm reading up on public health more lately than not because of my position here talking about sports in a pandemic. Takes a while for someone to get it and perhaps incubate and then test positive. Zero positive tests coming out of last Thursday night's game. And, of course, we're all in our breath about the crossing of vectors of last Sunday's games. Today and tomorrow, obviously, would be the times that you hear about that. But again, once again, we heard some fans last night. I wasn't thinking about it at all. It's just a bummer, obviously, that Cleveland couldn't open up in front of a packed house. Looks the same, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm not thinking about it. And last night, the Browns got what they had to do. We will have Todd McShay first up on this subject because we figured Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield, there's still evaluations going on here. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, clearly the more successful quarterbacks first up from that draft class. That Sam Darnold's got a big game against the San Francisco 49ers. Jets could go 0-2 right out of the gate. How do you evaluate a quarterback that you feel, you know, A, was great at USC, has shown flashes. Tua still sitting there. If the Miami Dolphins lose to Josh Allen, go to 0-2, do you throw Tua out there? I think you do. Yeah. I think you absolutely do.
It's coming. Sooner
well, you
or
know,
later.
I mean, honestly, you absolutely do. If the doctors say he can go and he's not on the injury list, throw him out there.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins right now, I've got a game on that third. By the way, I'll tell you this. May I speak on behalf of everyone at NFL Network who's ever worked there or whoever will work there? Anybody in the NFL media group, I always am confident about speaking on their behalf. None more so than right now. Miami Dolphins of a Thursday night game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 3. Start Tua. All right.
Yeah.
Start Tua. Although I imagine short week, it's not the time to actually do something like that.
True.
Throwing a rookie out there at Jacksonville, but Tua versus Gardner Minshew exclusively only on NFL Network to kick off week 3. I'm in. Okay, so Todd McShay is going to be first up. Lots to talk about with one of the top evaluators of football talent in all the land. And then Sham Sharania will be joining us from The Athletic. And he wrote about last night's Heat comeback win in game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And Celtics, up 17, get outscored by 20 in the third quarter, still make a comeback to take the lead, but watch the Heat go on a 17-7 run to close the game out, including not one, not two, but three Jimmy Butler steals in the last 4 minutes. Both ends of the floor for this guy.
Gross.
And he's not even up on the screen of one of the top scorers. Dragic with 25, Bam Adebayo with a double-double, and my Wolverine dropping in half of his three-point attempts. He took 12 of them. He made six. I'll do the math. I'm a Michigan guy just like Duncan Robinson.
Gross.
And the Celtics, according to reports out of the worldwide leader in sports, bickering in the locker room, arguing. Marcus Smart, Jalen Brown are apparently were the ones going at it.
Yeah, shouting.
Shouting. And then noises, too. Like little noises off. A little bit of
like things being,
throwing stuff.
Things being thrown. Yeah. Like me in a middle school gym.
I'll say this, because it's getting to the nitty and the gritty. Again, the Western Conference Finals start tonight between the Lakers and the Nuggets, who may have a chance. Higher register later on in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And the Heat gelling like a team like, say, the Raptors from last year. I will say this. I know who Kawhi is, and I know what Kawhi's done, but Jimmy Butler is doing what Kawhi did last year, which is provide a group of very talented, well-coached, well-meshed players with star-quality offense and star-quality defense. Both ends of the floor, they're feeding off him. And Jimmy Butler, who was a Chicago star and then wound up with Minnesota, where, as we all know, he led his own coup to get out of there by blowing up practice, wound up in Philadelphia. Sixers figured out, you know what? Not here. Not worthy of all the money that we know we have to give Embiid and we have to give Simmons. So we'll let him walk. Let him go to Miami. And he's become the star of that team in the same way that Embiid and Simmons have not been able to be successful in Philadelphia, in the same way that Chicago would love to have Butler. Look what's happened to Minnesota since Butler has left. He has become, or is becoming, what every single franchise that had him wanted him to be. And we all thought he would never be. That's a fact. That's a fact. And he's taken the moment, and he is seizing it right now, and it is awesome to watch, with all due respect to you, Brockman, and your beloved Celtics.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Okay, like this is what they need out of Tatum. They need out of Tatum, and they need somebody like Kemba Walker. They need somebody to lift this team, and they've got games to do it. It's not looking great, but the Heat are playing like a confident, tight, both ends of the floor, gritty unit. If it's not Butler, it's Adebayo. If it's not Adebayo, it's Duncan Robinson. If it's not Duncan Robinson, it's Dragic. If it's not Dragic, it's Hero. They are really damn good. And this is the part about the bubble that I think is really getting to the Celtics, and I don't blame them. If you don't make the finals in the bubble, it is akin, and I know I'm speaking to a slice of the audience. If you ever play in a poker tournament, you play in a poker tournament and you play all day in this poker tournament, and you get knocked out just before the final table, you get paid.
Oof.
You've spent 8-9 hours. You've called home and told your wife or your husband, hey, take care of the kids. I'm doing well. I'm playing really well. I have a feeling like we can win this thing. And then you're in a poker tournament. You're playing for all this time. And you see the final table. You see it right there, right in front of you. 8-9 spots. They pay 9 spots. And you finish 10th.
Ugh.
You don't make the final table. And you're like, what the hell have I been doing for the last 9-10 hours? That's what not making the NBA finals in the bubble is. and get knocked out in the conference finals. Great run. But you've been away from everyone you love for all this time. Sure, they might have come towards the end of your stay in the bubble, but you've been there for weeks, months.
Yeah, what do you got?
And you had a shot. You had a shot to make the finals. Now, I know losing in the NBA finals might have the same result, but at least you made the finals. You made the last possible stop. And you've got a finals appearance in your book, your yearbook or whatever. You win a conference. That's significant. That's playing on the Celtics right now. Honestly, even the Nuggets right now would be, they're on house money.
Oh, big
they
time
came back
money.
From 3-1 twice. Jamal Murray has presented himself as a bona fide superstar in the making. Jokic, the same way. You know, the coach, they're coaching a tough team. Even if they get knocked out by the Lakers, that's what, you know.
They're supposed to
right,
be knocked
correct?
Out. Yeah.
Celtics, different story, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what's playing on their minds. And we'll talk about it with Shams when he joins us. And then Bruce Feldman will join us at the top of hour number three. College football weekend. Let's set the table. Where's the Big Ten schedule? I mean, can these folks do anything right? No, I honestly, like if you are getting everybody together like they did, and they finally got together and they are unanimous, wouldn't it be smart to have in the top right hand desk drawer or top left hand desk drawer, whatever you are, if you're ambidextrous, put one in each, okay? Wouldn't you think, if it's becoming like the stars are aligned, that you somehow have a schedule to announce at the same time? Can we do that? At the same time. We're back. Here's the schedule. We know that we gave you a schedule and then reversed course out of the blue, out of the maize and blue the last time. And don't you think it would have been smart to basically erase all that and give us, where's the schedule? What are we doing? Is it really taking 2 days, 3 days? Where is it? I sure hope before the end of this show, you're like, hey, Big Ten put out a schedule. Meanwhile, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott was on Dan Patrick prior to this show here on Peacock. He said it's still likely that there's football this fall. The governor of our great state out here in California, Gavin Newsom, basically said, because I'm sure it filtered to him amongst all the smoke of our state being on fire, that filtered to him that Larry Scott has said on this show, Dan's show, every other show he's been on, our California and Oregon schools, We're having an issue getting these guys on the field because of ordinances that won't allow us to practice. USC players wrote the governor a letter saying, let us play. And Gavin Newsom, maybe that's what caused him to come out basically say, wrong table. It ain't the state of California that's preventing. Go out. Go out and practice. Go. So there's lots to talk about with Bruce Feldman. In hour three. And then your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Our poll question's a good one. We'll set things up. Todd McShay of ESPN to analyze what happened last night and more in a second. Shop local with Visa to help support your community. Because where you shop matters. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, back here on Peacock, and our radio audience and NBCSN audience will join us in a second. Chris, have you fashioned a poll question that we can unpack a couple of times here in this segment, please?
Yeah, buddy.
What do you got for me over there?
Okay, so big week two in the NFL. Who needs to win the most on Sunday? Who needs it more on Sunday? Bucks, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings. Who needs it most?
Well, I mean, and it's interesting. A couple of those games, you could say Atlanta and Indianapolis, or playing Dallas and Minnesota, need it just as much.
And the reason, I have the patience to jack with you today. You
know, and again, the reason why we're mentioning this is the Browns won their game.
Yeah.
That was must have.
They needed it.
So who's next? Who needs
Cowboys 0-2 would be bad.
TJ Jefferson's ignoring us right now.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That would be bad.
Bucks 0-2, not good either.
Bucks 0-2 would be bad, too.
You know what? If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 0-2.
Oh, there's 14 more games. He'll be assistant right. quarterback.
No, I know, but... And there's also a seventh seed. Like, you know, the whole idea of the meaning of week two, you know, how important it is, those are based on 30 years of a playoff format that's now right. finished. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out what the math does there. We're back on NBC Sportsnet, and executive producer Don Bowie, who's a big Saints fan, loves choosing this photograph to always put on the screen when it's to discuss the Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as we were in the Peacock-only segment. We're on more. That's why she got Peacock. We're on more. Chris, unpack the poll question over there real quick, because the Browns won their must-have game last night. We're wondering who's next on that list.
Yeah, Browns needed it last night. Got it. Who also needs it in week two in the NFL on Sunday? Bucks, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings.
And again, I thought the important aspect of the Browns contest was Nick Chubb's ability to run and dominate on the ground, because that opens everything up, takes pressure off the passing game. And if that is something, I'd rather for the Browns have that more repeatable than the passing game, although obviously they work together. And it was something that they needed to have, because Joe Burrow kept slinging it last night. Here was Baker Mayfield after the game when he was asked about his colleague Joe Burrow and his first road start last night as a pro.
Tell it's true. The hype is real with Joe. I thought he played extremely well. Just being decisive, keeping plays extended, taking care of the ball. I thought, you know, he did a great job. So it's always good to see another young guy come in and take over. And obviously that team loves him. They follow him and he leads them.
Yeah, I want to talk about taking care of the ball. As NFL Research sent out an email last night to all of us and put out on Twitter, Joe Burrow, first rookie since at least 1950 to throw a ball at least 60 times in a game and have zero interceptions. None.
Ooh, baby.
Wow.
And the one fumble, you know, obviously one ball sailed past him when he was trying to call timeout as the ball got snapped. And then another one, Myles Garrett just made a defensive player of the year play. A guy who watched Joe Burrow in person as an analyst for ESPN and ESPN Radio, calling games, as well as watching a ton of tape as part of ESPN's draft coverage. One of the best evaluators of talent, joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show, our buddy Todd McShay back here. How are you, Todd?
I'm great, Rich. How are you doing, man?
I am doing well. So what did you see last night out of Joe Burrow? Let's just get right into the evaluation of him through 2 weeks now.
I just think he's tough as nails. I really do. I love watching Joe Burrow in the pocket. And I, you know, they don't get the win, and he's struggling. But the fact that he's transferred what he did in his last year at LSU to his rookie year in the NFL with an offensive line that's kind of up and down, and the ability to like, he doesn't worry about the pressure. He feels it. He's aware of it, but he knows like when the outside pressure is coming, he just calmly climbs, and when it's coming from the inside, he slides right or left. And if you're watching all the great quarterbacks in the NFL, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. Obviously, you know, Peyton Manning, going back to his inability to run but ability to move inside the pocket. Tom Brady, the same thing. The great ones are masters at working inside the pocket, and that's what he does so well. And going back to the tough as nails, I mean, you talked about the play where the strip sack for Myles Garrett. The other guy, I don't even remember who it was, but the other guy nailed him. I mean, he just rocked him. And that's what you saw time after time from him playing against, you know, SEC talent and those great defensive linemen. He gets knocked down. And so, he doesn't, like, peel himself off the, up off the ground. He just pops up, and it's like next play. And he's always been like that, and I've always respected that about his game. It probably has something to do with the fact that his dad's a coach, his brothers were linebackers and safeties in Nebraska. Like, he comes from a family of football, and he's used to just, like, knocked out and having to jump right back up.
Well, I guess, and I get the good news is for Cincinnati, even though 0-2 is mm-hmm. you know, the same old Bengals that gets thrown around quite a bit, as we saw with a game-tying field goal that should have been an easy chip shot. No good because their kicker cramps as he attempts to swing his leg through, like what happened in week one, right? That does not apply to the choice of Joe Burrow. Like you could see right now, two games in, not eight quarters and 5 days in, that this was it. This is the right first overall selection, right?
Yeah, there's no question. You can, fortunately and unfortunately in some cases, you can't get the full picture, but you get a really good sense from about 3-4 games into their rookie season of how they're handling it, what's going on, the guys respecting them around them, and how they're able to pick up the offense and understand how things are changing on the defensive side. And I just don't have any worries about them. I really don't. Like, they need to get better on the offensive line. They need to get more consistent on the defensive side and some more talent and influx there. But I have no concern when it comes to what's going on at the quarterback position for the Bengals for the next several years. And I think he's going to elevate everyone around him. And that's what you expect to get when you use a number one overall pick on a quarterback.
And we were discussing this with your compatriot Daniel Jeremiah last week about what does make a successful NFL quarterback who's been drafted or rated high or drafted in the first 2-3 rounds? Is that, you know, is it environment, or is it just somebody who could just take a team and elevate it himself, regardless of who the coach is or revolving doors? And I'm wondering where you stand on that subject, because obviously you've got Darnold and Josh Allen from this draft that we're still talking about. We had Baker last night from this draft.
Rich, I think, honestly, not to cut you off, I think the more I'm involved and the more I've been around this and evaluating players, I want to believe that the environment has to be right and all those sorts of things. But if you're using a number one overall pick, or if you're using a first round pick, you're drafting a guy that you have to believe is going to kind of transcend everything else. He's going to bring the rest of your organization up to speed, like Andrew Luck did prior to the injury situations. Like, that was an awful roster, and look what he did with them. Look what Tom Brady did with an offense that rarely had elite players on that side of the ball. You know, I mean, Joe Burrow comes in, you see it right away. Kyler Murray goes into Arizona, it's different. Daniel Jones goes to the Giants, and he's a good player, and there's hope. And you've got arguably the best back in the NFL behind him in Saquon Barkley. But you know already that you have to have a lot of things around him to be successful, right? I mean, I think it's very obvious. And you can go down the list. Like Baker, you have to have a lot of things around him. Sam, I think, can kind of transcend things with the Jets, but he needs a little bit more. Josh Allen, you have to have everything around him like he has with the Bills. Like, there are just certain guys, Lamar Jackson, and I didn't see it at the time, and I'll be the first to admit it. I had him fifth in the quarterbacks that year behind Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield. And then Lamar was fifth on my list that year. But Lamar, they've transitioned the offense to him, but he's capable of taking over the organization and being that guy. So if you're using a number one overall pick, you're expecting to get that. Whether you get it or not, it really decides what's going to happen with your future for the next 5-6 years.
And in terms of, you know, Todd, let's stick on Darnold for a second here. You know, at least Burrow does have. I mean, you got Tyler Boyd, you got AJ Green, obviously. Joe Mixon, yeah. So at least he does have some weaponry, although maybe not the protection up front. And Sam Darnold's got Frank Gore. He's turned around to Frank Gore and handing to Frank Gore in 2020 to start a game against the San Francisco 49ers. And Frank may be the most decorated, dependable offensive weapon he's got. And this is year three, so you say he can transcend the Jets. He's going to have to. I mean, right? I mean, this is it. Where do you stand on Sam Darnold for the Jets going to have to make a decision about picking up a fifth year on him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Frank was not the primary.
No.
You know, when you and this is before Joe Douglas, the GM, they made the decision to pay this amount of money to Le'Veon Bell, and I guess understandably, maybe whatever you think of it, and he was, from a talent standpoint, unquestionably. Was deserving of a lot of money. But I always have a hard time when organizations spend that kind of money on that position because of exactly what has happened here and a lot of other places in the league. So now, yeah, you look in the backfield, you got Frank Gore, you got a rookie in LaMichael Pirine, who's, he's the same thing as Frank Gore. He's a kind of a pounder, but he's just not nearly as talented and obviously not nearly as decorated. So now it turns to Sam. And you look at, I just looked at they've got so many issues in terms of weapons around Sam moving forward. And they're trying so hard, obviously. They brought in Mekhi Becton at left tackle, their first pick in this past draft. You got Alex Lewis they brought in. They really spent a lot of this offseason trying to upgrade their offensive line to protect Sam. But at tight end, you don't see a huge difference maker, in my opinion. And at wide receiver, you got a bunch of, guys that are solid, but no one is scaring you defensively. So that allows you defensively to come up and throw games at Sam to take away the run and really press and get physical. And I think that's the issue that the Jets have right now. But I would go to war with Sam Darnold. I would put him in the top 6 or 7 quarterbacks in the league in terms of guys that I believe in moving forward for the next few years. I really believe that he's a special talent. They just need some time to get the guys around him.
Well, I mean, and if time unfolds in the manner in which we saw in week one, and I know this is a total knee-jerk reaction, but when you look at the roster, you see what you see. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to front load you way in advance the million-dollar question. If the Jets have a chance at Trevor Lawrence, do you turn Sam Darnold into the Josh Rosen of this equation? You don't. You don't really do that.
No. Huh? No. No. No, I don't. And that would be one of the few situations in terms of coming up in this draft. I mean, I would sit there one and get a monster deal. I mean, that's what you do if you're Joe and you're making that decision. And listen, they're not going to be picking number one. I really don't believe that's the case. But in your hypothetical, if they're picking at number one, I think you sit there and you get one of the biggest deals that has ever been brokered for a number one overall pick in the history of the NFL draft. I would argue probably the biggest for Trevor Lawrence. So you're going to wind up with so many ones. You're going to wind up with at least 2 ones, multiple twos, and probably 2 or 3 other picks. And you can name your price because there are going to be 3 or 4 organizations that are bidding against each other to go up and get what I think is a generational talent in Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson. And to me, now you add in all the other first round picks. I think they have an additional 1 and a 2, I believe, in the next two years. So
yeah.
The Jets would be in great shape. But I do not foresee that being the situation.
Well, I'm asking it for because there's already Jet fans that are thinking about it because just watching that week one, it just looks so desolate. And I know that there's still a lot of football left to be played. But
I love the Jets fans.
Seriously,
I'm it's just one game. I mean, yeah, I guess they've earned it over time, but it's one game.
Okay.
It's one game. It's okay.
Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we've been going back and forth about what type of quarterback these young quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, they do need to have these pieces around them for them to be successful. Baker's had a bunch of churn at coaching, obviously four head coaches in his first 3 years now. What type of and then there's some like you think Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, they could just succeed right from the get-go and lift. Which quarterback is Tua, do you think?
I'm interested to see the health. Because based off of just watching Tua healthy,
yep,
versus Joe Burrow, and you have to look at the two-year evaluation of these guys. And I think Joe Burrow, the improvement from year one to year two as a starter at LSU was the greatest improvement I've ever seen from any quarterback in the history of college football leading up to the draft. In 20 years of doing this. I've never seen anything like it. I'm talking a fifth, sixth round grade, kind of wrote him off. He's a game manager and just trying to get 1 year in as a starter after transferring behind all those guys at Ohio State. And then all of a sudden he becomes Joe Burrow, like this guy. So, but when you look at the 2 years and when Tua was healthy, and granted Tua had better weapons around him, but I thought Tua Tagovailoa was the better quarterback over the 2 years. And I said it before, if you promised me 10 years of health with the two, I would take Tua over Joe at number one overall this past year. And maybe I would have been wrong, but I think the big thing for Tua is getting back healthy, getting some people around him, but just having confidence in his body and what he can do and knowing his limitations. That's going to be the biggest key for him.
So what do you think? Miami taking on the Bills. Josh Allen's looking really terrific. He does appear to be, budding. That's no question about that. And if the Bills go and give Miami a bit of a beatdown, as some people think will happen, what do you think Brian Flores is going to think about in a short week prior to week three against Jacksonville between the Dolphins? Do you think that's where you insert Tua? What is your thought on when we might see Tua this year?
The one thing, I think, just to say this, I think with Brian in their front office, I think this is the best run Dolphins organization that I've seen probably in a decade. I really think that, and probably more, but I'm just in the top of my head. I think they have the right people in place in terms of leadership from a personnel standpoint and a coaching standpoint, okay? I think they realize that they have time, and this is not a race. It really is not a sprint. They've got to make sure that they get it right for two in the long term, because that's their ticket to success for the long term. So what I don't know is what they really know behind the scenes in terms of his health and where they think he is, and is he strong enough to withstand three quarters of an NFL season or a half of an NFL season, whatever it is. But I think it's inevitable that we're going to see Tua, and it's probably sooner than later. But I also think that they didn't want to throw him in there knowing that they have some deficiencies and knowing that his body type and the fact that he has had injuries basically every year of his career going back to high school, they just want to protect him and they want to do the right thing and make sure that they're in the right position to take care of their investment. And ultimately, when he gets on the field, if he is right physically, I think he has a chance to be one of the stars in this league. I really, really believe that.
Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we hang up, first time you and I have spoken since the draft, which you missed because of COVID-19. What was that? Yeah. I am so sorry. I know what the draft means to you and how you build to it. And then for you not to be able to be there for, ESPN and for all, it was a combined broadcast with NFL Network and for the NFL. For you not to be there, it had to be absolutely crushing. I am so sorry you went through that. But is there anything you want? Of course, is there anything you want to tell people about having it or and going through it? Or is there anything? I'd love to give you the floor if you want to take it, Todd.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this. I didn't know we would go here.
I'm sorry to do that, Todd.
No. It's all good. It's all good because it's important.
That's what I figured. You know, I know I didn't ask you beforehand either, but
yeah, no worries. I was my Dr. Mitchell, who I've come to love, who guided me through it. She said bluntly, you have a mild case, and I remember looking at her and being like, wow. Yeah, I can't imagine people that have anything worse than this. I would go to take a nap and try to text the producer, be like, I'm going to try to be on a little bit, and then wake up 13 hours later. And I didn't know if it was 7 at night or 4 in the morning. Like I just didn't know where I was. It was dark. Thank goodness my wife took our children and went away. In early April and got away just because she was worried. And so I was just sitting at home trying to battle through it, and then finally just it took over me. And so the point is this. I, for anyone who doesn't think it's that severe or, it's made up or all these other things that I hear, it is real and it's scary. And to know that there are people who had it a lot worse than me, I can't imagine what they went through, because it was a really dark place. But I also, I'll say this, I've never felt more like love and appreciation and more, I don't know, like team, whatever environment than I did during those few weeks from everyone that I work with at ESPN. It was unbelievable, the support I got. And it was I couldn't watch the draft. Even though I was healthy enough to watch it, I couldn't watch it until it was over because I couldn't stomach it. But when it was over, I watched it, and I was so proud of everything that ESPN and NFL Network did, and I appreciated so much the support I got. It really helped me through it, knowing that everyone was like, don't worry about work, like, get over it, just get healthy, and it meant a lot to me.
It is just one draft, Todd, and now you sound great, and don't worry, you'll be there in 2021 when the Jets are on the clock and have a decision whether to take Trevor Lawrence or trade everybody, so...
And I'll still be dealing with you and all the Jets fans. I got it.
Oh, no, you'll hear from Greeny. That's for darn sure. Greeny will... No.
I got all of them.
You'll have a Greeny split screen when that happens. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. And he's going to have all the...
I want to focus on all the good. Like Chase Young has a sack and a half. C.J. Henderson for Jacksonville with the pick. Antoine Winfield Jr. for the Bucs.
He was great.
Queen has 8 tackles. That's all right. These great rookies.
I love it.
We're focused on the Jets. I got it.
Well, no, it's okay. We've got more time. I'll have you back on anytime, Todd. You're the best. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, my man.
Take care. You got it. That's Todd McShay of ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The best.
Give me a minute here.
You got it. Are we going to Jets wormhole here?
I don't know. It's not really a wormhole.
Okay. Black hole?
It is totally early. It's knee jerk. But you did see Mike Greenberg.
I did.
Going all in on Gase needs to go because he's ruining Sam Darnold. And I don't know if that's because he did rename his children Sam and Darnold.
He did,
and doesn't want to rename them Mekhi and Becton and then switch them to Trevor and Lawrence. I just don't know. Honestly,
very confusing.
I don't know. One of his kids could actually be named Trevor or Lawrence. Those are two first names. Yes. Okay? It's possible.
Possible.
So, yeah. Jet fandom, we are on the edge of the George Washington Bridge right now, looking down. We are.
And it's open.
Because, honestly, you look at the roster of people that are around Sam Darnold, and they do not inspire confidence, and they also do not appear to be the right type of talent, amount of talent, to surround this guy so he can progress. Like we see Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield had a game last night that Darnold would have to be hard-pressed to have, because maybe he doesn't have a running back that could run it 24 times for 124 yards. Maybe he doesn't have a wide receiver like Odell Beckham who can get open, or a tight end like Austin Hooper. I know Chris Herndon is talented. But I think you see what I'm saying, and you put it all together, and through the attrition of a season that we're already seeing with Le'Veon Bell being on injured reserve, and you look at a schedule like the San Francisco 49ers needing a win, coming in at 0-1, taking on the Jets, and then you look over the steering wheel and see Indianapolis. They have to visit the Colts. Then they have to welcome in Denver in an early Thursday night game. Now, they do have an opportunity to win that game because it's Denver having to travel on a short week in a pandemic. Then they have Kyler Murray coming into their house. Then they have to visit here to Los Angeles before having Buffalo come right back and visit Kansas City, and then have New England come in before visiting Miami, and then there's a bye. And then they have Miami right after the bye. Vegas coming in, have to visit Seattle, visit the Rams, Cleveland, then at New England. Their last three or four are on the road in a pandemic in December. Put it all together. They're in the running for it.
They're getting the first pick.
And if they have the first pick in the draft, and I know this is 4 months in advance of this conversation, but you can look over the steering wheel and see the road. If they have the first pick in the draft, and they do what Todd McShay said they should do, laughed about it, doesn't think they're going to have the first overall pick. If not them, then who? And then if they do have it, and they do trade away the pick for a king's ransom, number one, if you're in the AFC, don't bother calling, because the Jets making this maneuver will have to watch Trevor Lawrence do his thing elsewhere. The entirety of his career will be laid at the feet of this could have been you, Jets. And Darnold, if Darnold thinks the pressure's on now, if the Jets think the pressure's on them now, oh my God. Let's take a break. We are back on the Rich Eisen Show. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Check on our poll questions. Set up the second hour with Shams Charania about what went down in the Celtics locker room.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Later on today, an hour after we're off the air, switch over to NBC if you want to watch the 120th U.S. Open second round. Justin Thomas should be just making the turn at that point in time. He tees off in about, I'd say, about 40 minutes' time. So Patrick Reed just a little bit before that. Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy going around the course together. That'll be great.
Ooh.
Bryson DeChambeau is a couple holes away from finishing up an even round that gets him one under. We'll see if Thomas, Reed, and McIlroy suffer the same fate of a lot of the players today, which is not shooting red numbers. We'll be rejoined our quadcast in a second. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show to our NBCSN viewers and those listening to us on their radio stations, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our YouTube page has just been phenomenal lately, and we appreciate that. I know that we were on YouTube for a long time, and people are used to maybe seeing a stream there. Just come to Peacock, people.
Yep.
Come to Peacock, peacock.com. is a very simple. PeacockTV.com is the way for you to get us through your desktop. If you're sitting there at work, at home, or if you are somehow in an office, very simple to do that. And then on your phone, very, very simple to do that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris, what is our poll question as it currently stands at the end of hour number one before we start turning our page to a little bit of basketball? Chris, what do you have over there?
Looking at NFL Sunday week two. Who needs to win most this weekend? Bucks, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings. Vikings at the bottom, 12%. Eagles, 20%. Split right now. Cowboys, Bucks, 34%.
All right, very good. At Rich Eisen Show to vote on that. I hit that with a retweet. Hopefully that'll get more numbers.
Let's
up. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Danielle in Florida here on the show. What's up, Danielle?
Hi. What? It's very simple. I'm the biggest Jet fan there is. Adam Gase needs to go. I'm sick of it.
Okay. If this wasn't somebody named Danielle, I would think this was Mike Greenberg on Helium calling in right now. But
you could say my family's like a big Jet fan.
Sure.
And listening to Greenies like listening to my family. It's hilarious.
Well, I mean, look, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's tough to evaluate. How do you evaluate when Jamal Adams gets traded for two ones after a draft? You know what I'm saying? Like
what's better to deal with the drama?
I don't know. I you know, if you send him out now, what are you going to do? That's the whole thing, is that if you send Gase gone now in the beginning of a season now, after we saw how they finished up last year, I just don't know if firing him is the answer right now. It would be a total, unless you want to go for Trevor Lawrence or the.
I still believe in Sam Darnold. I wouldn't throw him away yet.
Okay. Danielle, thanks for the call. And the reason why, look, you know, why are you talking about an 0-1 team from New York? Obviously, it's my favorite team. This is a national story. If the Jets wind up with a first overall selection, this is a national story. It's a national story that reaches into the college football ranks. And then, of course, if Sam Darnold is still the guy, as Todd McShay's like, top six young talents, in then who wants him? Who wants him? You sit there and say, what's the trade for Sam Darnold? Much less than what the trade is for Trevor Lawrence. You make this decision, you rebuild, and then you sit and you watch Trevor Lawrence perform elsewhere, or you watch Sam Darnold perform elsewhere. I will talk as a Jet fan. As much as I love Sam Darnold, much easier to watch Sam Darnold perform elsewhere. I'll tell you that. And certainly, it's a national story that if Trevor Lawrence is available, because they do love Sam Darnold, then an NFC team sitting out there right now can have Trevor Lawrence. They'll just have to give up, you know, like a Mike Ditka draft for Ricky Williams. Sorry to the Saints fans out there. But
is that what you prefer?
I don't know, man. I mean, I you know, if asked, what would you prefer?
Knowing you could have six picks, probably.
Yeah. For what? What are we doing then? What are we doing? For what? Those are guys that I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know if you're going to choose them the right time. I don't know what you're going to do with them. What do you do? What you usually do is you manipulate the draft board to get who you want to get. Why don't you get Trevor Lawrence?
There's one guy instead of six.
I know who he is.
So, like, remember DJ said last year, it's a Noah's Ark situation. The Jets need everybody.
Yeah. I know. Yep. I don't know. Why don't you trade Jamal Adams before the draft? Why don't you do that?
That was still a good trade, though.
It's a great trade, but for next year.
Yeah.
And then when already lose the running back that's supposed to be your best offensive player, and then you lose your high-paid middle linebacker who opts out due to COVID-19. So now you're out without, like, honestly, if you name the four best Jets players going into the season, you'd go Jamal Adams, C.J. Mosley on defense, and you'd go Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell on offense with Mekhi Becton hoping to be that guy. Becton's there for Darnold, and everyone else is gone. And it's week one, and the Niners are coming in pissed off. I don't think this is a knee-jerk reaction. The Jets are in trouble. And then, again, looking over that steering wheel, what happens if Sam Darnold has the ability to change all this? If he is the guy that can change the culture and put a team on his back, week two, 2020, is the time to start. And this is a national story. It's a national story. Not just talking about my favorite team here, because this team is in the running for one of the most prized players quarterback prospects that's come out in a long-ass time. Your calls and shams coming up.
Hey, it is Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, among other NFL-related podcasts, the former NFL offensive lineman, and yes, we are going to have an NFL season. It is here, thankfully. So, if you want to bet on the games, it is the Even Money Podcast. If you just want to play fantasy football, Fantasy Feast Podcast, or every day your NFL fix, the aforementioned Ross Tucker Football Podcast.